Good evening, folks, to another session of the Koine Greek. We are going to be in the workbook tonight, starting on page 18. And hopefully we will get through page number 24 in the workbook. Interestingly enough, I did do some research on the subject of aspect in the Koine Greek. And I want to tell you that it is something that even the expert muckety-mucks are not totally solid on. That is not to discourage us, but if you guys are thinking to yourselves that this seems fairly complicated to understand, well, you're right, a little bit. It's somewhat interesting to understand, and I was researching aspect, and I will, how tense and aspect in the Greek, Koine Greek verbal system are associated and how we are supposed to understand it. And I will be doing so in the future and as we go on. So it doesn't bother me at all. And I was looking through tons of verbiage by these guys, and a lot of it was them just arguing between each other, which, I went to college for 8 years, so I was used to seeing all of that. You sort of wonder sometimes what these professors really know, or if they know how to teach what they know, if they know what they know. And so, but certainly... the Lord knows the Koine Greek, and the Lord used the Koine Greek. So things like this aren't going to bother me any, because there are men and there is the Holy Spirit that has worked with this language, and it makes me want to dig into it more. I know that I have failed in the aspect of not getting you. Any handouts. I really wanted to blame this on Ronnie, but I can't. And it's my fault, because I have a number of things that I can send to you, including the answers to that I've written down in the workbook, and I can just copy them as long as you don't give them to anybody. And anything on learning aspect, I can send you too. I did find one thing that might be helpful to us that I'm going to read. So what I'm saying this to you for, and all of us are adults here, all of us certainly have brains enough to learn this, and because it was the Greek of the common people during New Testament times, and I believe that God the Holy Spirit certainly is powerful enough to help us understand what the Almighty wants us to know about His precious, precious Word. In fact, I'm learning how precious His Word is as I live. And so, as I go on, I'm going to try to help us any way I can with the understanding of this language. And I did find a definition of the subject of aspect that I'm going to read in a couple of minutes. So then, we're going to go on now. And what I want to do is I want to go back to the textbook, the small textbook. And I want to read pages 12, 13, and 14. And maybe 15 again. Because what we should do, again, is that these are tremendously solid fundamental principles that we have to get in our minds. So, like I said last time, we have to know them cold. I have to know them cold. So that, like in the exercises today, when we're talking about mood, we should know how many there are. When we talk about voice, we should know how many they are and what they mean. And when we talk about person and number and source, we should know what that is. When we're parsing Koine Greek verbs, we should have, and tenses, we should know what they are, and we should know what they mean. And as I go on, you could say, well, that sounds really easy to say, and I understand that. But as we go on, you know, the seven tenses of the Koine Greek, and the three aspects of the Koine Greek, I'm going to keep on hammering over this until we're comfortable, at least, with what we're learning. That's my plan. And I'm going to go out there, I'm going to find examples. See, I was searching today over the internet to, you know, I just, you know, was Googling about, and, you know, I just was punching around and thinking, well, maybe I can find a New Testament example of the aorist aspect of the Koine Greek, and that's, you know, that's harder to find than meets the surface. But maybe I just don't know where to look. But I did find a lot of verbiage and books and from, you know, these muckety-muck Greek scholars, supposedly, that were talking about this and that, and then they were arguing amongst each other, and they were saying, oh, this professor doesn't have this right, and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, sometimes a lot of, at least worldly college learning is that you get a lot of verbiage, and then you sit back, and after about an hour, you think to yourself, what did he say? You know, and that's how politicians are. So, you know, maybe there's a lot of the intellectual world that just, you know, goes round and round and round with a lot of words, and they don't really say anything. Well, I'm not saying that that's all of that out there, but, you know, maybe some of it is. And I'm going to try to just cut down to the bare bones of what we have to know. So that's what's in my mind. And so what I'm going to do as we go on is I'm going to try to make it as clear as I can these important fundamental truths because of this language. Because once you get that down, you know, things will just be a lot easier. So let's go to, in the small text, let's go to page 12. We're going to go over what mood is again, voice is again, what tense is again, and what aspect is again. And then we're going to move on to page 18 in the workbook, okay? Just, you know, the idea being is, hey, you know, we can flash by this. I've done that in school. I've gotten A's and B's in college, and then about a couple of weeks later, if you would have gave me another test, I might have got a D. You know, so I understand how, like, cramming for something, and you get all this knowledge, you put it out on a test, and then it's like, what, you know, what did I learn like that? I know of, because I've done that. You know, but that's not what we want to, that's not our mission here. Our mission is to be sound students in the Koine, so that when somebody asks us, hey, can you describe mood in the Koine? Bam, 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 you can describe it. Voice, bam, bam, you can describe it right out of your head. That's my mission for all of us, you know. I'm no genius, that's for sure. So let's turn back to page 12 in the text. I have a little text, and it says mood. Notice each form of echo, that's the first person singular of I have given above, makes an affirmation. In the Koine Greek, an affirmation is said to be in the indicative mood. Well, I'll just tell you right away that when we go to the workbook, grab your workbook now and look at page 18, you're going to notice mood there, right? You're going to notice in parsing these Greek forms, you're going to notice mood, all right? And all of the moods on this page are indicative, all right? Because the fact of the matter is that by lesson three, you haven't learned any other moods. So you can just, for mood all the way across, for numbers three there, mood, you can put indicative, 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 indicative all along. That's the answer, indicative, the indicative mood. For all of these Greek forms in the workbook on page 18, it's all indicative. All right. Well, what is the indicative mood? All right. So that's what we're going to learn again. We're going to learn that we should learn at least how many moods here? We have four moods that we have to learn in the Koine. The one of affirmation is said to be the indicative mood. The term mood comes from the Latin. We've gone over this before. Modus, meaning measure or manner. Mood refers to the manner in which the author relates the verbal idea to reality. The indicative mood indicates that the author affirms the factuality of a statement. The author is affirming the factuality of a statement. That's the indicative mood. The indicative mood is the mood of affirmation of reality. All right? And all of the answers on page 18 of the workbook is indicative. An example, as I have mercy, that's in the indicative mood. The Koine Greek has other moods as well. A verb can express a command, not an actuality, but a command. And that is the imperative mood. Lord, have mercy. It's like you're telling the Lord to have mercy. Well, we don't do that, but that would be a command. If you're saying, Lord, have mercy, you're kind of, not badgering them, but you're kind of commanding them, Lord, have mercy on me. That would be the imperative mood. And then you have, it can also express a contingency. That's if you have this, then you'll have this. You know, something's contingent on something else, and that's called the subjunctive mood. Though he have mercy, that's in the subjunctive mood. And then it can also express a verbal idea without limiting it by specifying person and number, and that's called the infinitive mood. To have mercy is better than to offer sacrifices. So, it's imperative. It is imperative for us to understand what the indicative mood is, what the imperative mood is, what the subjunctive mood is, and what the infinitive mood is. Right out of your head. Right out of your head. Bam, 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 like that. That's what you got to do. You know, if you're going to learn this language, can't be a slacker. You're going to have to somehow, I don't know how your memory is. Mine isn't the greatest. I don't have a photographic memory. So I have to get it in my mind where I'm comfortable with it. And so there you have it. Mood. You have four moods to learn. Okay, let's turn to page 15 or 13 in the text. Voice. In addition to mood, Koine Greek verbs also are said to express voice, whereas mood refers to the way in which the author chooses to affirm the reality or unreality of an action. Voice refers to the way in which the author chooses to relate the grammatical subject of a verb to the action of that verb. Okay, so now the voice is relating the action of the verb to the subject. All right. So voice relates the action of the verb to the subject, and there's three voices. You should be able to say what they are and know what they are out of your head. Bam, 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 just like mood. Four moods, and you should know them right out of your head. All right, and you can say, well, that's too much. Well, there's really not too much anybody can do about that. So if you're you know, if you're spending time here, this is what you're going to have to do. All right, so voice. It relates the action of the verb to the subject. A verb is said, I'm in the middle of that paragraph under number 14, voice there. A verb is said to have the active voice when the subject is presented as performing the action. Active voice, subject performs the action. Okay, and we're going to see that in the workbook. Turning back to page 18, look at page 18, go ahead, look at page 18, and I'm going to tell you this, that all of the answers to voice are the active voice, except when the mu iota conjugation of a me for I am is used. All right, now, you'll notice that we're in the workbook now on page 18. You notice the forms there. Paiphase, a me, see a me. Well, a me has no voice, and the mu iota conjugated verbs, which we learned of in past lessons, they don't have a voice, and I can, you know, we can prove that out of the text. I think it's on page 22. We'll get there. All right. So when it comes to at least the conjugation of I am, there is no voice. But as far as voice in the well, we'll get to that. But all of the answers to voice on page 18 are either going to be active or no voice. All right. So we'll go over that though. All right. So all of these forms on page 18 are in the active voice. That's where the subject is performing the action. All right. And see, what you're going to have to do is, since you're going to have the answers in the workbook, you can work backwards. You already know the answer, so you can say, oh, well, I have the form there. Let's say, well, we'll go over it, okay? But what we're learning today is we're learning the indicative mood and the active voice or no voice. That's all you're going to be learning today, all right? Even though when we go back to page 13 in the textbook, go back there. Okay, so you're going to, right now you should have your textbook open to page 13, and you should have your workbook open to page 18. All right, so on page 13 of the textbook, under voice again, we learned what the active voice is. All right? And in the active voice, it says when the subject is presented as performing the action, as in the example, I hear a man. I hear a man. Or akuo anthropon. Akuo anthropon, actually, I mispronounced that. Anthropon is how you pronounce that form there, because the accent is on the alpha. So you can say that to yourselves or out loud, akuo anthropon. And that is, I hear a man, and that is in the active voice. Here, akuo, I hear, is an active verb, since the subject of the verb is doing the hearing rather than being heard. All right, so the subject is presenting as performing the action, or, you know, he is hearing. All right. There are two other voices in the Koine Greek. They are the passive voice and the middle voice. Well, what are they? You should know them. I mean, and these, what I'm saying to you is that mood, voice, tense, aspect, we gotta know these things and be able to rip them off like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's your assignment. That's my assignment. Can I do that? No. Will I be able to do that? I'm gonna work on it. Yeah. So I can, somebody come up to me and say, how many voices are there? Three. What are they? Active, middle, passive, blah, blah, blah. I can rattle them right off. And so I don't have to, you know, when I'm looking at Koine Greek verbs, in studying the scriptures, and all of a sudden, somewhere I'm looking at the middle voice, I don't have to go, oh man, and I have to rip back to, you know, my textbooks and go searching. Bang, bang, bang. You can know what the middle voice is in your head. That's my goal it's my goal for all of us, all right? And so you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to memorize, pound it in your head. Whatever, you know, some of you are smarter than me, great. But whatever it takes, that's what you're going to have to do. And I'm serious about this, about these foundations, because I told you that I've been searching about aspect, and even the highest supposed scholars are having discussions that they don't agree in. And you know, they've been studying the Greek for 10 years. But so what? You know, I don't know, you know, who they, I don't know what they know about the Lord. I don't know what they know about the scriptures. And see, that's where we have an advantage. We have a tremendous advantage, because we know the final work of the Almighty God in what's called the revealed sacred secret of the mystery. And I think, and then we know about Israel being set aside at Acts 28. And we know that miracles are a sign and not for today. We know all of these great things of truth, and somehow I know that they work in. They're going to work into our knowledge of the Koine. We have a catbird seat as far as we have a catbird seat as far as the scriptures are concerned, compared to some people that don't know the scriptures. That's not saying that we're anything, because I'm not anything, but you know, the Lord uses nothings to confound the people that are mighty, and so that's all right with me. I'm glad of that one. Otherwise, I would be a nothing upon a nothing. So let's go back to the middle voice and the passive voice. There are two other voices. I'm in the middle of the paragraph under number 14 voice in the Koine, the passive in the middle. The passive voice is where the subject is pictured as being acted upon. All right, so in the active voice, the subject is doing the action. In the passive voice, the subject is being acted upon. Well, that makes sense. An example of that is, I am being heard. I am being heard. That is where it's in the passive voice, and it's pictured as the subject being acted upon, rather than I hear a man, which is in the active voice. In the middle voice, the subject is pictured as acting in its own interest. And, you know, they have an example down here of the middle voice. Do not put on two tunics. Well, that's where the subject is pictured as choosing between one tunic or another, and putting on only one. Well, that is where the subject is acting in its own interest. So, okay, a good example of the middle voice, Doherty has said, apparently, is in Ephesians 1:4, as far as being chosen. Well, you know, we'd have to look into that to prove to see if she's right or wrong. Now, you know, I love Doherty and everything, but when somebody says, okay, like she is now, a good example of the middle voice is in Ephesians 1:4, I'm not going to say, oh, she's right, even though I love her. I'm going to say, well, okay, let's find out if she is right and what that means, right? Okay. Doherty is putting forth that the middle voice is in Ephesians 1:4, so we'll check that out. All right, because that's really important. Okay, so the middle voice, again, we should know that. The middle voice is where the subject is pictured as acting in its own interest. All right? And, yeah, okay, he chose us, the Father chose us for his own benefit. All right, well, when she explains it like that, I'm believing her a little bit more, because I do know, as a fact, that Ephesians 1 is the Father pouring out his love upon his church like you can't believe. I mean, I do know this as a matter of fact and a matter of experience, that if you study in Ephesians 1 and you go into the Koine, your jaw is going to be dropping, and if you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and if you know what resurrection power is, your jaw is going to drop, and you're going to be weeping, and you're going to be saying, this can't be true, that a human being can be elevated to such blessing. That's what you're going to be saying. You're going to be saying, I don't believe it, I don't believe it, I don't believe this, in the sense that it's too good to be true. But in fact it is. In fact it is true, no matter how we feel. And see, I have problems with this myself, as far as, I know I'm getting on a tangent here, but it brings you to your knees. Yeah, the Lord's Word, and see, the love of God is boundless, and if you want to see the love of the Father, just study Ephesians 1, believe me. And you're going to be brought to your knees, and you're going to be saying to yourself, this isn't possible for some sin-sick human blob like me to have this from the Almighty that created everything I can see and much more, you know. And the fact of the matter is that this is what the evil one wants to keep away from human beings. And if you think about it, if you think about it and what the possibility of a human being is in the Lord, and then you think about where they're directed to by the evil one in their own flesh, you can see the state of the world, the darkness that it's in. All right, and see, I was studying about light the other day, and Christ is the light. And he shined in the darkness, and John 1 states that the darkness overcame it not. And I'm like, well, what's this all about? Well, this is a really dark place. That's what I am learning about the world. It is dark, dark, dark. And without the Lord, it is as dark as black. All right? And he came. He is the light. And then we are lights that shine in the world. And my mind says, well, boy, I sure don't feel like a light. You know, some people pick on me, and I can't. Oh, how can I be a light of God if people treat me lousy, or if people don't say, boy, look at that son of God. Boy, I don't feel like a light. Well, it doesn't matter what I feel like, because I have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and I have His truth and resurrection power, and He tells me I'm a light, so I am. And so I'm saying this because these are my personal experiences, and I feel that they might be helpful to you, all right? Because I'm of the same calling you are. And so here we go. So now that we got that sidebar over with, we're going to go on to tense, all right? So we should know what mood is. We should know what voice is. Bam, bam, bam. You should have this just like you can get up in the morning, 4 a.m., blah, blah, blah. You can just spew it out. All right, and with mood voice, we have tense. And see, they put aspect there in parentheses, and that's kind of a little confusing at first, okay? So I think what this author, or what this believing pastor, Pastor Black, is saying is that tense and aspect are combined in the Koine, even though they are two different things, all right? So, on the bottom of page 13 in the text, it says, in addition to mood and voice, a Koine Greek verb is also said to have tense. The tenses in the Koine Greek are the present, the future, the imperfect, the aorist, the perfect, pluperfect, and the future perfect. All right? We went over this before. And then we have examples of that, and we have examples in the English there of taking the subject of love. And you could put... like I said, you could put one of the tenses on the front of a little 2x2 card, and you could put the English translation of it on the back, and notice that you have the active voice and the passive voice. You don't have the middle voice here, but this author is going to teach you about the active voice and the passive voice for the example of love in the different tenses. And so, I mean, if you had a photographic mind, you could go zip, 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 and you'd have that right into your brain. I don't, you know, so I'm going to have to work at it. But what that paradigm on that gray box there gives you an example of is in the English is you can get used to each of these tenses and how they would reflect in the English language. I love, I will love, I was loving, I loved, I have love, I had loved, and I will have loved. Well, see, that all does make sense, even though that's a lot to learn initially. That makes sense. And so my mind says, hey, if that makes sense, I can learn it. All right? If it makes sense, we can learn it. All right? We just have to get the B12 and the B6 going in our bodies and the brain niacin going and maybe a coffee or two. And we can learn it. So if it's learnable, we can learn it. All right, and then go down to the middle of page 14. Folic acid, yes. Middle of page 14, in the text it says, besides tense, linguists also speak of aspect in describing the Koine Greek verb system. The term aspect refers to the view of the action that the author chooses to present to the reader. There are three categories of aspect in the Koine Greek. We went over this. Okay? We know that there's imperfective. There's the imperfective aspect, the perfective, and the aorist aspect. Okay? These have to do with the view of the action. All right? The imperfective aspect focuses on the duration of the action. The perfective aspect focuses on the state or the condition resulting from the completed action of the verb, and the aorist aspect focuses on the entire idea of the action of the verb. And, you know, that's a lot to digest. And like I said, this aspect, or this idea of aspect, is still kicked around by the most foremost students of the Koine in our colleges, okay? So, to relate aspect to tense, that's what you have in the gray box on page 15 in the text. And, see, to teach that, you guys are going to have to do your own brain work on this. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to move out into the Koine Greek world, and I'm going to try to find ideas and other authors and such that might give us further understanding of these ideas of tense and aspect. But if you look at, and then like last time, we learned that the Koine really only has three tenses. Remember I said that? Past, present, and future, like the English. Alright? But their past tense is broken down into three different tenses. And their present tense is broken down into two different tenses, and their future tense is broken down into two different tenses. And then, out of those seven, even though, alright, and then last time I said that the past tense is broken down into the imperfect tense, the aorist tense, and the pluperfect tense. We can learn that. And then the present tense is broken down into the present tense and the perfect tense. We can learn that. And then the future tense is broken down into the future tense and the future perfect tense. And see, if you take all of the examples of love there, I love, I will love, I was loving, I loved, I have loved, I had loved, and I will have loved, and you study that, and then you put them in, and you connect them with those tenses there, you're going to, you know, I think it has to soak in. For me, you have to go over it until it soaks in. That's all I can really say. Because I could sit here for maybe every Saturday for the next 2 months and read this over and over and over again to you for an hour, and you could hear it over and over again and then go on to your life, and if you didn't look at it, you wouldn't know it. I'm going to bet that you wouldn't know it. And so you guys are going to have to sit down and let it soak into your brain. That's the only thing I can say. You know, even if you're learning anything that you confront, that isn't exactly 1 + 1. And then you go, oh, well, that's too tough. I don't have time for that. Well, if that's going to be our attitudes, forget it. You know, you might as well just not even bother. This doesn't come easy to me. Forget it. Well, if that's your attitude, forget it. You shouldn't be here, because it's going to take some sweat and it's going to take some work, and that's all I can really say. So, we should know mood, what they are, how they're described, what they mean, voice, what they are, what they mean, tense, what they are, how many, what they mean, and aspect, what they are and what they mean. You're going to have to get those down for yourself so that you understand what they mean. And hey, that's a big job. And I didn't realize how big of a job it was till a couple of months ago. And so, but once you, once you get these things down or you got a good handle on them, you are going to be light years ahead of the game. That's a matter of fact. Because then when you start studying, or even if you're studying the Koine now with your interlinear and such, when you look at, they call them form tags, when you look at a Koine Greek form, and it tells you that it's a Koine Greek verb, and then it tells you about what we're going to look at today in the workbook. It tells you the tense, voice, mood, person, number, and source, or at least the tense, voice, mood, person, and number. You're going to know what's going on, all right? And so, after saying that, let's go to the workbook, all right? Let's go to the workbook and look at page 18, all right? Now, we look at page 18, all right, and we notice that on page 18 there's how many? There's 18 either, there's 18 things that we have to parse, all right? We're going to parse. We're going to analyze these verbs, and we're going to break them down into tense, voice, mood, person, number, and source. That's what we're going to do. And after we have the answers, and you should be writing down these answers, because once you have the answers, then you can work backward. You know, you won't be struggling to move ahead to the answers. You're going to go, whammo, I have the answers, and now I can understand in working with this where I get, where these answers come from, all right? And that's having 100%, you know, like I said, I had to sign a disclaimer to get all these answers from a university, and so we can't let these answers out. And if I hear of any of you if you're going to North Carolina Bible Seminary, and you're standing on the corner with all these answers making some bucks, we're going to have to send a squad after you, okay? So don't do that. Then they'll come arrest me too. So here we go. Now, in these forms that we're looking at today, we're only, in as far as tense is concerned, well, so far in the text up to this point, we've only learned present and future tense. We've learned how to form the future tense by using the future morpheme sigma, right? We looked at that before. And so, as far as tense is concerned, in the answers here, there's only going to be present tense or future tense, all right? So, let's look at the first form. The first form is paithes. And first of all, all of these Greek verbs are found in your textbook, that's the little textbook, on page 23, and their meaning, and page 22, actually. So you look at page 23 in your little textbook. Turn there. All right? This is your vocabulary, and I know I haven't hammered on the vocabulary at all, but, you know, we're all hard-working adults here, and we're not college students. I mean, if we were in college, you'd probably be seeing me, or we would be doing this three nights a week, an hour a night, week after week after week after week, all right? So that's what this text and this workbook is set up for. So just think of yourselves as college students, maybe a little bit older, like Tony and Chip, and then you can maybe get the idea of what we're dealing with. Okay, well, paithes, you look on page 23, and you look down the list, and we notice that patho, there is I trust in. In the first person singular, patho, I trust in. And in the first person future, it's peso, I will trust in. All right, so we have present tense, future tense, and then what we're doing is we're gonna have examples here of the different persons and the different number. All right, so we're gonna have to move on here, and I don't know how far we're gonna get tonight. Maybe, maybe we'll just get to page 18 tonight in the workbook. But at least what we can do, and see, the reason I went back over mood, voice, tense, and aspect is because it's just extremely important. So I hope you don't mind I did that. But let's look at these forms on, good evening, Barney, on page 18. We have the form paiphase. Well, that's in the present tense, it's not the future, and it's in the active voice. Remember that we don't know really any other voice except the active at this present time. And like I said before, it's in the indicative mood, it's in the mood of affirmation, the mood of reality. And we notice that at the end there, the ending is in the second person, the ace there, paiphase, in the second person singular. All right? And paiphase, what does it mean? Actually, what you really should do, or as I figured out what to do, when you look at the form paiphase, your mind should try to figure out, what does that mean? What does paiphase mean by looking at it? Why, you would look on page 23 and you would notice that patho in the first person singular means I trust him. Well, we notice that this is paiphase. It's in the present tense, and the ending on it is epsilon iota sigma. So it's in the second person singular. So instead of I trust in it, it means you trust in. You trust in singular. That's what paiphase means. Initially, paiphase means you trust in. It's in the present tense. It's in the active voice. It's in the indicative mood. It's in the second person singular. And it, the source of it is patho. I trust in. First person singular. Patho. All right? Now moving on to the next one. Okay, we're going to have to get through 17 more of these before we end. All right? Notice that the next verb form is ame. And we notice that this is a mu iota conjugation. It's not an omega conjugated verb. It's a mu iota conjugated verb. And it is the conjugation for I am in the Koine Greek. And you notice on page 22 of your text, look at that, the present indicative of ame, in page 22 of your little text. And in the first person singular, ame means I am. It's in the present tense, but ame, we learned, or the active indicative for I am, has no voice. And if you looked at your... if you looked at your text, we went over this, but the conjugation for ame has no voice. All right, so anytime we find a conjugated verb that is a conjugation of I am or ame, which we'll see as we go in this lesson, it has no voice. There is no voice. There is no active voice, there is no middle voice, there is no passive voice for I am. Well, that's something we can learn. Okay? We learned it. So, ame. What does ame mean? Well, it means I am. You can look right on page 22. I am. It's in the present tense. It has no voice. It's in the indicative mood because that's the only one we've learned. It's in the first person singular. And it is... its source is ame, I am, in the first person singular. Moving on, we have baptize. Baptize. Well, we noticed that what does baptize mean? Well, if you look on page 23, you'll find the form baptizo, and it's in the future tense. I will baptize. Well, looking at Baptize, you notice that it has a different ending on it, and in fact, it has the third person singular ending on it. So, for Baptize, it's in the future tense, it's the active voice, it's the indicative mood, it's in the third person singular, and it means he will baptize because it's in the future tense. And the source is baptizo, which is I will baptize. You notice that baptizo. I will baptize. Baptizo. You see that on page 23. Baptizo. That is the source. The first person singular future tense. Baptizo. Moving to the next one. The form kerusosin. Kerusosin. And kerusosin, well, what does kerusosin mean? Well, you notice it has the third person plural ending, and that it's in the present tense, it's in the active voice, it's in the indicative mood, because that's going to be the answer. That's the only mood we've really learned so far. The mood of affirmation, the mood of reality, and it's in the third person plural. And it means they preach, not they will preach, because it's in the present tense. And its source is Keruso, I preach. You can see that on page 23 of the little text. So it's really important right now for you to have the text open to page 23, right alongside page 18 of your workbook. Moving on, we have the next form. Akuomen. Akuomen, actually. Akuomen. And looking on page 23, we notice the Greek form akuo, meaning I hear. While akuomen has the third person singular ending on it. And we know that akuomen is in the present tense, not the future tense. And what does akuomen mean then? Akuomen means we hear. So akuomen is in the present tense. It's in the active voice. It's in the indicative mood. It's in the first person plural. First person, number is plural. And it comes from the source, akuo, I hear. All right, so far we've got 12 more to go, and I'm going to do this. Does this make sense to everybody? You got to give me an affirmation. It doesn't matter if it does or not. Just say, yeah, yeah, no, no, yeah, no, yeah. Okay, great. Because, you know, if we're all sitting here, and we're just kind of drifting off into, let me see, what's for dinner, it's no good. So this all has to make sense. And that's why we're recording this. And again, I'm no genius, but I'm putting time in, and I want to know this. And if you want to know it, well, then you're coming along with me on the ride as long as I live. And so, yeah, question. Oh, I'm sorry. I think that I missed one. I missed the future form of I preach. Sorry. I skipped one. I made a mistake. My wife pointed that out. That's what she's here for. Yeah, she's actually listening. All right. Go back to the top of the page. I missed one. To Keruxes. Way to go, D. Keruxes, that second from the end on the top of the page of page 18 in your workbook. Keruxes. Now, this, if you turn to page 23 in your text, of your textbook, your little textbook, you'll go a half up the page and you'll notice Keruxo. And it is the future form, first person singular, of I will preach. Notice that, Keruxo. So keirukses, what does that mean? Well, we notice that there is a different ending on there. And the ending is in the second person singular. It's in the future tense, the active voice, the indicative mood, the second person singular, and it means you will preach. It's in the future tense. Not you preach, but you will preach. Okay, we can learn this. It makes sense. If it makes sense, we can learn it. And that's the objective I'm going on here, because if it makes sense, we can learn it. And so we can learn it if it makes sense. So we're going to learn it. And the source of that is kerukso, which is the source, and it means I will preach in the future. All right, so go to the middle of page 18. And we have the form oxates. And we notice that on page 23 of the text, we notice that on the top of the page, we notice in the first person singular future, oxo, meaning I will lead. So we look at oxes and we notice that it has a different ending on it. Well, it has the second person singular ending on it. And so therefore, oxes, it's in the future tense, it's in the active voice, it's in the indicative mood. Like I said, that's the only mood we learn. The mood of affirmation, the mood of reality, it's in the second person singular. And what it means is you, in the singular, will hear. And it comes from the source oxo, meaning, you will lead. Yeah, you will lead. Yeah, you will lead, not you will hear. You will lead. Alright, you will lead. I made a mistake there, okay? So oxes, again. Oxes. It's in the future tense, active voice, indicative mood, second person singular. From oxo, meaning I will lead, and therefore oxes means you will lead in the singular. Alright. And so the next form is with a rough breathing. You have to notice that over the epsilon, it's pronounced hexase. Hexase. And you have a rough breathing, so it's rough hexase. Hexase. And we notice going back to page 23 in the little textbook, about the middle of the page, hexo. Hexo. It is in the future tense, I will have. I will have in the first person singular. So hexase means you will have, because it's in the future tense, it's in the active voice, it's in the indicative mood, it's in the second person singular, and the source is hexo. I will have. All right? Going on. Well, the next form is graphso. Graphso. Notice on page 23 of your little text, going down to one-third from the top, we have grafso, meaning I will write. It's in the future tense. I will write. So going back to page 18 in the text, in the workbook, it's in the future tense. Because grafso means I will write. The active voice, indicative mood, first person singular, comes from the source graphso, I will write. Going on to the next one, notice we have A, and A is a mu iota conjugation, so automatically we know that it has no voice. So going to page 22, it's not an omega conjugated verb, it's a mu iota conjugated verb. And that's what we learned in previous lessons. So we notice that we know that this doesn't have a voice. And we look on the page 22 in the text, little textbook, and we notice that A means you are in the second person singular. You are. So that therefore, A means you are, and it's in the present tense. It doesn't have a voice. It's in the indicative mood. It's in the second person singular, and its source is A me. And A me is I am. So A means you are. I am, you are. Moving on to the next one. SD. That's how you pronounce that. SD. And we notice that that's another conjugation of the mu iota conjugated verb I am. And SD, notice on page 22, means he is. SD. He is. So it's in the present tense. It has no voice. It's in the indicative mood. It's in the third person singular. And again, it comes from the source Ami, meaning I am. The next form, blepousine. Blepousine. That's how you pronounce that. Blepousine. Notice on page 23 of your little text, the form blepo, first person singular for I see. Blepo. And we notice that blepousine is in the present tense, and that it has it has the third person plural ending, blepousine. So what does blepousine mean? Blepousine means they see. Okay, so let's parse it. Blepousine, it's in the present tense, it's in the active voice, it's in the indicative mood, it's in the third person plural, and it comes from the source blepo for I see in the first person singular. All right? Moving on down to a scene, a scene. Notice on page 22, that's another conjugation of the mu iota conjugation for I am, a me. And a scene is they are in the third person plural, a scene. So then it is not in the future, it's in the present tense. It has no voice because, again, the present indicative of a me has no voice. It's in the indicative mood, it's in the third person plural, and it comes from the source a me, or I am. Moving on to the next form. Theraptuso. 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 And looking at page 23 in your text, theraptuso, you'll notice that it is the Greek form in the future tense, for I heal. I will heal. I will heal. We get the English word therapeutic from it. Theraptuso. And theraptuso, then, is in the future tense. It's in the accusative voice, or in the active voice, I'm sorry. It's in the active voice. It's in the indicative mood. And it's in the first person singular. And its source is the same. Theraptuso. Meaning, I will heal in the future. Now, the author is going to give us some English phrases, and then we are supposed to understand how to parse these verbs. So we have we loose, and we loose, no, we notice that it isn't in the future tense because we aren't loosing, and we notice that it's in the plural. And so, therefore, it's in the third person plural. So, for we loose, it's in the present tense, it's in the active voice, it's in the indicative mood, and it's in the third person plural. And it comes from the source in the Greek, luo, for I loose. All right? Next one, we are loosing. producing. Well, actually, I think what's happening here is that this would be a different aspect. Notice this, that we are loosing would be an example of a different aspect, because we are loosing is also in the present tense. It's in the active voice, and it's in the indicative mood. It's in the third person plural, and its source is the same, luo, for I loose, but it's in a different aspect. That's what the author is getting at here, is, and we'll get to that in the subsequent exercises on page 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, and 24 of the workbook, that this is two different aspects of loosing, or of people loosing something. We loose is an aspect, and we are loosing is a different aspect. So you kind of get a little bit of a taste of what aspect is in the Koine from understanding in the English we loose and we are loosing. All right, that's what that's about. But as far as we are loosing, it's in the present tense, it's in the active voice, it's in the indicative mood, it's in the third person plural, and in the Koine Greek it comes from luo, in the first person singular, meaning to I loose. She will save. She will save is in the future tense, because she will save. It's in the active voice, the indicative mood, and it's in the third person singular, because the third person singular is he, she, or it. So she will save, future tense, active voice, indicative mood, third person singular, and it comes from the source, sozo, in the Koine Greek. If you look on page 23, a third up the page, you'll find the form sozo, for I will save, and this is the source of she will save, which would be the third person singular. It comes from the Koine, that is, sozo, I will save, as it is pointed out there on page 23 of your text. And the last one, I am. Well, that's in the present tense. It has no voice, and we've gone over that enough. It's in the indicative mood, and it's in the first person singular, and it comes from the Koine Greek eimi, for I am. And that is going to be the lesson for tonight, because that was a pretty good hour there. And we're going to, the next time, we're going to go into analyzing or parsing verb forms on pages 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and maybe we'll get to some translation on page 25. I don't know how far we'll get with that, but if you have the will, you can start translating, you know, maybe get at least through page 25, and that's what I'll do. We'll next time I'll be prepared in the workbook to do 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and page 25, because, you know, in these parsings, they go pretty quick. So we should be able to go over those parsings and then get to some translation. And so just, if you can, translate page number 25. And and then as we go, what I'm going to do is, here, I'm going to read you, a definition of aspect, all right, before we leave, that I found out there in the cyber world of knowledge over the internet. this is one definition of aspect that might help us, all right? And that's, there's a lot of things that might confuse us, but this might help us. Aspect. Aspect is concerned with the differing portrayals of an event, either seen from without as a bounded whole, or seen from within as an unbounded process. What does that mean? Let's analyze that a little for a minute. Aspect is concerned with differing portrayals of an event, either seen from without. Like, let's say if you're on the outside looking in, then you're gonna see something as being bounded. That means you're seeing it, and you're gonna see it for everything that it is. It's locked and it's bounded in your mind because you can see all of it. It's like if you were the Lord looking at the earth, and your aspect of the earth is bounded because you can see it all and you know everything about it. But let's say you're a human being standing on the earth looking out into the universe. Well, then your aspect is going to be unbounded. That means that when you look out into the universe, your mind can't bind it up into one thought or into one, you know, there's so many things out there that you don't understand. So your portrayal of the universe would be unbounded. Aspect, then, may be defined as the relationship between an event and the frame within which it is portrayed or viewed. All right, so that might help us to understand aspect a little bit better, and I'm just going to stop with that, because that can be understood. That makes sense, and so we can learn it. Rather than, I'm not going to get involved in any discussions between these eggheads out there. And if you crank in, let's say you Google up Koine Greek aspect, do it once, and you'll find some textbooks on it, on aspect alone, but then you'll find the author of certain textbooks doesn't agree with other authors, and we can't get involved in that. We got to nail these things down. We don't have time to get into controversy. So apparently Dr. Black in our textbook didn't get into that, and for good reason. So I hope that all made sense to you, and I'll be listing when the next Koine Greek class will be, because I personally have to go out to Arizona for Jimmy's. I have to do a eulogy for Jimmy McWilliams, and so. But I'll let you know. Maybe we can get another one in before that. It's the 16th of March. Yeah.
I think it's an Easter. What they call it?
Oh, Easter. Yeah, that pagan. Oh, sorry.
Isn't that over that 30th?
Oh, I don't know.
So
but
families might be getting together.
Yeah, families might be getting together. Easter, by the way, is in the King James Version, and as aptly pointed out by Rotten Ronnie, it should never be. So, strange things can creep into the English Scripture. So, that's why we're studying the Greek, and I love you all, and thanks a lot for being here tonight. It's really a pleasure to see you all, because, you know, you're all adults and you've, you know, you're giving your time and energy to this, and I think it's going to pay off. You know, I think what's being taught here is sound. Everything we've learned is sound so far, and we can learn it, so let's learn it. I'm doing this. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you being here, believe me. So we'll end with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious, precious, precious word. That word of God, that's the most precious thing we could ever handle. And, you know, I know that I don't realize that at times, but I know that it is. I've been taught that it is. I know personally that people have given their varied lives for it, and we have it so abundantly we can have rooms filled with it. And so there's no excuse for us, but let us not be so ignorant that we don't understand how much of a blessing your precious word is, because if we don't feed off your precious word, our old man is going to take over, and we are going to go down the tubes real quick, especially with the evil one working on us at the same time. So we need to feed the new man off your new and living word. It's living, it's life. The Lord is life, the word is life, it's everlasting life, and the word is everlasting. So we would be fools of fools if we neglect your word. We thank you for that. We thank you for our lives, our puny human existences that are going to be propelled from this state of death to in the heavenlies at the right hand of the Father. That's almost blasphemous to say, but in fact it's true. We thank you for all the saints tonight, for this knowledge, for your Koine, and all the blessings you've given us through your Son, God on earth, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen.